Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Susan Ratz, who runs communications and media relations for the Guelph Organic Conference. We're coming up on the annual Organic Conference at the University of Guelph, a tradition that's been around for nearly 40 years, long before going organic was a thing. The Canadian Organic Trade Association, in their 2017 Consumer Report, says that the organic market in Canada alone is worth about $5.4 billion, which is almost $2 billion more than it was worth in 2012. The COTA also says that 66% of Canadian shoppers are purchasing organic items weekly. The top demographic group that buys organic is, unsurprisingly, millennials, and that 80% of organic shoppers are buying them at their local grocery store. So make no mistake, organic is big business, but the Organic Conference is where the trend gets back to its roots. Pun intended. Going organic is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, if the Guelph Organic Conference isn't the biggest of its kind in Canada, then it is definitely one of the biggest, and it's also one of the oldest. The very first conference was an afternoon seminar that was organized by a couple of grad students back in 1982, but now it's 4 days of activities that are organized by a federal nonprofit called Organic Food Conferences Canada, which is made up of representatives of 17 public sector nonprofit organic groups. The mission of the conference is to bring producers and consumers into one place. It also allows producers to share tips, research, and information in the form of workshops and seminars, and it brings in over 100 vendors into one marketplace that is free to enter and even offers free samples at several of the booths if you're interested in a tasty treat. Now, that succinct description of the Organic Conference I paraphrased from their Facebook page, because if you go on the Guelph Organic Conference website, they don't have the usual about page that describes the event that the site is promoting, which maybe speaks to just how ubiquitous the Guelph Conference is to Canada's organic community. The University of Guelph is, of course, branded as Canada's food university, and though the Organic Conference is a separate entity, it's one of those things that helps secure the U of G's reputation as being central to food issues in this country. But it feels like an inside baseball kind of thing. You have to be inside the world to understand its significance. But what about the rest of us? This week on the Guelph Politicast, we're going to bring you the layman's guide to the Guelph Organic Conference. Why is it a go-to destination for organic producers and the organically curious? What makes the Guelph Organic Conference such a unique affair? And we'll also ask Ratz about the role of the conference in this multi-billion dollar per year organics business and about how the conference promoted organics before it was cool. And we'll also talk about the challenges of organizing the conference logistically and how it needs to balance both the trade show aspect for industry insiders and doing outreach to consumers interested in learning about organics. And finally, we'll talk about some of the must-see items and programming that is part of this year's Organics Conference. So I caught up with Susan Ratz earlier this week by phone. Susan Ratz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem.
I think to start with, I've been around campus forever. I don't think I've ever made a point of sort of going to the Organic Conference, but it's this thing that happens once a year in January. Can you explain to people maybe who have, like me, never really engaged in even with the Organic Conference, like what it is and why it's this big thing on campus here every year?
Okay, absolutely. So this is our 39th year of hosting the conference. It has some really grassroots beginnings, but now it takes over the University Center and we use some of the other buildings at the university as well. So there's two main components of the conference. There's a workshop component. So from Thursday to Sunday, we are offering 41 different workshops. And then on the Saturday and Sunday, there's a trade show in the University Center on the main level and also in the basement level in the Peter Clark Hall area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a large event. You know, like 41 workshops is a lot of different speakers and topics that we cover. A lot of really interesting topics, a range of topics. So from a more agricultural point of view, we're attracting cash croppers coming in with large acreage who are learning from each other and from experts. And then we also have folks who are more focused on a market garden kind of scale.
Mm-hmm.
And also, folks that are trying to do more urban farming, greening their life, that homesteading kind of feel. We offer a lot of workshops on those areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, you know, the trade show is just, again, it's a mix of, you know, attracting different things. You're going to find someone who can provide you with farm equipment and farm inputs. But on the other hand, you can really enjoy some great carrot juice samples from Fennings Organics, or you can have ice cream from Mapleton's Organic.
Mm-hmm.
There's food samples, books, all kinds of different things to check out.
Okay, that's a good, it's a good pitch. One of the things I was, you know, thinking about and questioning myself about, and one of the things I wanted to question you about is, I went to the Guelph Organics Conference website.
Yeah.
And typically on these things, they have like an about section. And the Guelph Organics Conference website doesn't have that. And I'm wondering, I'm thinking to myself, is this thing so, you know, big? Is it like such an important destination on the calendar that maybe you guys don't need to do that, like reach out to the people like me who are maybe like wondering to themselves, what is this whole organic conference thing's about? Like, is it like that appointment kind of viewing for the organics community?
Yeah, I would say that is very well known within the organic community. Like, it's kind of seen as the homecoming for
right.
the organic sector every year. So it's interesting that you would say that. I would say, like, I look after the website, and one of the things that we run into is that people we find are really looking after it for tactical information on the website.
Right.
So maybe we need to put some of that more, some of that more text back in. But, yeah, it's a really good point. It's always interesting to hear a perspective from someone else. But yeah, it is kind of like a homecoming. Like, we have, you know, a lot of people from the sector, like some of the key organizations, like the Canadian Organic Trade Association, Organic mm-hmm. Council of Ontario, National Farmers Union, representatives from all of those organizations are coming into town, and there's a lot of networking beyond the conference.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like, a pillar kind of thing. It's something that happens every January, but maybe we'll have to, like, put some more about us stuff on there, yeah.
Well, I mean, the website is jam-packed with information, and, you know, yeah. the schedule is right there on the when you get to the landing page, which is... You know, it's nice if you want to find out what's going on. I just find it interesting that, you know, it speaks a little to the community nature of this, that, you know, people are already kind of in the know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, like, that's a challenge for us when
yeah.
we organize the workshops, is that we tend to get feedback that attendees really want the speakers to dig in at an intermediate to advanced level.
Right.
So we tend to attract people who have at least 3 to 5 years of gardening experience at the very least.
Mm.
And, you know, with the farmers, you know, a lot of them have been farming for years. They may not have been farming organically very long, but have been, you know, farming conventionally before that. But yeah, certainly in terms of some of the more gardening, consumer, pollination kind of workshops, they're certainly... you know, it's really suitable for anyone to jump in and you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
But typically we get beyond the introduction level, because a lot of people who are coming out to the conference, even if it's their first time at the conference, they tend to have some kind of experience or
right.
interest, and they've, you know, been watching some videos or been seeing some posts online and things like that, and kind of already have a bit of a sense of, you know, what they want to do, like, in terms of help the planet, in terms of whether it's their food purchases or what they're doing with their yard and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been observing, I guess, the Guelph Organic Conference has kind of been doing organic, like, before it was cool.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, too, is that when you have that kind of longevity, yeah, I mean, of course, Guelph, too, has the reputation because of the OAC, and you know,
yeah.
there's a lot of branding around how Guelph is Canada's food university, that it's... Mm-hmm. When you get here, you... In this field, there is a presumption you are at an advanced level.
Yeah, like, I think, you know, we're definitely welcoming everyone. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone should feel that they can't come out to the workshops.
Right.
I just, you know, I would like to increase expectations. So you're going to have a good experience when you come out. You're going to hear some really interesting perspectives, some very unique perspectives. And I think that, you know, you should just be prepared for that. It's going to make you think when you walk away from the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there in planning all this and organizing all this, because it's from the sounds of it, there are two different audiences that are being served. There are the people who are like part of the industry that are growers, that are makers and sellers. And then there is the consumer aspect, people who are looking to, you know, buy more organic. The whole trade show aspect of it too, and trying the different vendors. Am I right in thinking that there are sort of two brains at work here, that you have to be thinking about two audiences simultaneously?
I think actually we have more than two audiences. Mm. I think that's one of the challenges that we face as organizers, is that, you know, there's the industry associations that are involved in the conference. There are the food producers who are actually like creating a product and are in that kind of trade component. Then you've got the cash crop farmers that are growing crops. Mm. You have market gardeners who are doing, you know, more vegetable-based growing on a smaller scale. Then we even get into other segments like permaculture, which is, you know, using more perennial plants and a mixture of plants. It's not necessarily monocropping. Like, there's a whole other thought process around that. We have biodynamics represented in the conference as well, and that is kind of a step beyond organics, where people are looking at, I'm not incredibly familiar with it yet, but, you know, they're looking at, like, the phases of the moon and all kinds of interesting things like this, you know, in terms of their planting. And then we have a pollination stream, so you might be really interested in beekeeping or pollination. Then there's the whole foodie movement. So, like, there's really, like, I would say we, you know, probably are dealing with maybe 8 to 10 different audiences. And so it's a challenge, but it's also one of the things that's really nice about the conference, is you have this huge diversity of people at the conference enjoying it. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're kind of identifying challenges all over the place, because you have the challenge of all these different groups of people you're trying to reach. You have the challenge of, trying to meet the expectations of people who come year after year, and you have the expectations, like, trying to be welcoming for people who are, you know, trying to see what this organic thing is all about. And, you know, how challenging is all this, like, logistically for you and the other organizers in trying to, I mean, organic means so much to so many different people that, you know, it feels like it's a big part of this is trying to recognize who you are leaving out, not necessarily what all you have to include.
I would say we do have a bit of a recipe for the conference. So in terms of, like, the workshops, you know, it's been very, been pretty similar, that we've been running about 40 workshops per year for quite a while. And so we kind of have a schedule. And then we have, like, streams, and we do kind of try and make sure the various audiences are being, are having workshops for their interests, kind of thing. So that's kind of a bit of a recipe. And in terms of the trade show, that just kind of happens, that there's this kind of this mixture and diversity of things in the trade show. So, with, you know, because it's been such a long-running conference, I think it's not a huge challenge of tackling that. It's something we keep an eye on, and I think we need to continually watch and improve upon, but it doesn't stress us out too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talked about the grassroots beginning of this, and I did manage to do a bit of research that this started in 1982, basically as an afternoon seminar started by a couple of grad students, and now it's this massive thing. How do you... I mean, so much of the idea of organic is the locality of it, right?
Right.
And, sort of being in the area, how do you sort of, I guess, manage that growth? You know, it's a thing that is like a $5 billion a year industry now, but so much of it is about the grassroots and about the local. Is it difficult balancing sort of these two things, or is the economics of this different than the way I'm thinking of it?
I would say, like, in terms of a conference, like, we're kind of, we're not trying to represent the whole category at once kind of thing. So, and because of the grassroots kind of history of the conference, I would say that when you come to the conference, you're going to hear more grassroots organic kind of information. So we don't necessarily have large retailers or big mainstream brand names as often into the show. We're dealing, the majority of the the people, the brands that are involved in the show, like you know, they're still large businesses in their own rights,
right.
But they're more grassroots kind of oriented kind of thing. So I think with our conference that it's still more, you know, grassroots kind of thing.
Is that difficult though to, you know, to manage that? Because you do have like big grocery stores, you know, the nationwide ones who will post like this is organic and that's organic, and you know, when you're kind of shipping stuff across country, there's room for doubt. I mean, do you guys kind of feel that big business maybe is kind of trying to take the idea of organic away? Maybe that this may be a bigger question than just, you know, in regards to this one conference, but it does seem like people are loving the organic label. It's becoming sort of a brand name on its own that I think there might be almost a fear that you could lose that local touch.
Yeah, like I think that it's like those are discussions that happen at the conference among people for sure. I think in terms of organics, people should be looking for the Canadian certified organic label on the products that they're purchasing, and that's their guarantee that it's gone through the certification process. One of the issues is, and the Organic Council of Ontario has done quite a bit of work on this, around pushing for a provincial standard to kind of regulate people who call their produce or their products organic but have not certified. And that's not an easy topic because there are some challenges for some people to have their products certified organic. So, you know, the availability of abattoirs that are certified organic can be an issue for someone trying to get meat they have raised. They may have raised it organically, but because there's a problem with finding a certified organic abattoir. You know, so those kinds of discussions are happening at the conference. Like, it's still fairly grassroots. And, you know, that certification is there to kind of maintain a level of integrity within the organic sector. And you'll find some people at the conference that go beyond and above like that, those certification requirements, for sure. You will find those folks. But, you know, in terms of people concerned about their purchases at a retail level, they should be looking for that Canadian certified label.
How much of this is still about the education? Because just from the sounds of it, you know, you're talking about trouble finding, you know, abattoirs that, you know, are certified. You have different levels of certification. You have a national one. You have, you know, people's own expectations about what is organic. I mean, how much of the conference do you think, maybe not necessarily in the official workshops or the seminars or things, but even the side conversations, is about, you know, trying to find what it, you know, the one definition of, or trying to negotiate what sort of it means to be organic?
So, like, in terms of the certification for organic, there's set standards. So those are, there's actually a separate committee that looks after reviewing those standards with the government and looking after that. So that is, you know, those are conversations happening at the conference, but there is a separate entity as well that's involved in maintaining those standards and adjusting them as needed. You know, that's kind of happening. I think kind of one of the things for people to realize is, one of the things I see is, like, organics, people think that it's no pesticides, which it is, like, that clearly is. But one of the things that, you know, really this conference tries to, you know, provide in terms of education is that it's also about developing soil health. Like, that is really key in terms of soil health and, you know, production and things like management. So those are a lot of the issues that are being addressed, like how to do things. That's what's kind of being kind of talked about in the workshops, is how do we grow organics? How do we do it better? You know, people are talking to each other, trying to figure out, you know, what are better ways to produce, be more productive and efficient.
Can I ask how long you have been working with the conference?
I was just thinking about that the other day. It's been about 5 years.
Okay.
I've been involved with the organic conference, yeah.
So this has been your life for about 5 years. Is there anything, you know, you look forward to, or, you know, do you get a chance to enjoy the conference, or is that like a work weekend for you?
Oh, it's definitely a work weekend. But it is a real honor to be part of the conference and to be part of the movement. I come from a business degree with a marketing background, and so, you know, I feel very strongly about the environment, and, you know, I've kind of decided that the way I can best support the movement is through lending my communication skills and, you know, having my communication skills working on environmental initiatives. So this is a really good tie for me. You know, and I work on the conference throughout the year, and it is a paid contract for me. It's not all volunteer. So
Well, maybe you can take a minute then to talk about maybe some of the highlights of the conference this year. You know, maybe what you know, muggles and people who are experienced with organics can look forward to. I say muggles as a way of describing people like me, or maybe not so in the know. But you know, what's a good couple of things to look forward to at the conference this year?
I would say that there's a lot of great workshops, but a couple of that I'm really looking forward to is there's a workshop on the Friday afternoon about creating an upward spiral in plant health, and Owen Goltz of Riverdale Farm is going to be joining us to give that workshop, and he's done some really amazing things at his farm, where he's kind of left a career to like build a small farm, and he's doing a lot of really interesting things there. So I think that'll be a really interesting workshop. And then on the Saturday, because I'm kind of in love with their picture with their chickens, Mark Green and Arlene Hasengreen are doing a from home to homestead workshop. So they're going to talk about, you know, living in an urban environment and what you can do to still have a bit of an urban farm. And then Ben Caesar is also talking on Saturday, and he's very popular. He's from Fiddlehead Nursery, and he's going to be talking about how to harvest and prepare perennial vegetables. So this is like eating your hosta shoots, you know, having other vegetables that are just there all the time, that you're not having to replant them every year. So that should be really interesting, too. And on Sunday, Terry Hoover, who's speaking at 9 o'clock, promises to have the most entertaining workshop. He's going to be talking about organic maple syrup. He's been in maple syrup production for a number of years and certified as well, and he's going to be talking about that first thing Sunday morning. And I'd say the other thing that people are showing a lot of interest in is we have a whole stream on beekeeping, sustainable beekeeping and pollination on the Sunday. And so that's grabbing a lot of people's attention as well.
Are there trends like in this? Like, you know, maybe this year people are really into, you know, as you said, like learning more about beekeeping, or, you know, just to pull something out of thin air, like carrots is a thing this year. Like, does part of that calculation go into sort of making the schedule?
Yeah, a bit. Like, I would say that in terms of, like, the urban agriculture kind of interests and permaculture, those are growing movements within the province, and I think people are more and more interested in those for sure. I think beekeeping and pollination, everybody loves cute little bees and understands the predicament of, you know, the pressures on pollinators. So I think that that's something people really identify with quickly. So that's definitely a hot topic as well. I think soil health is one that's becoming really a big topic as well, because as we face the climate crisis, there is a lot of pressure in agriculture to not emit as much carbon, but there's also a huge opportunity for agriculture practices to become a carbon sink and for soil to sequester more carbon into the soil. So that's another trend that's really important as well.
Right. Is this getting more attention because of the climate crisis? Like, are people, I mean, part of this is, you know, people want to eat healthier and you know, eat locally and all that, of course. But, you know, that has to be in the back of a lot of people's minds, too, the climate crisis angle to all this.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people do come to organics from a personal health concern or crisis. I think even with farmers, large-scale farmers, you know, often there's been a health crisis. You know, someone has had some very significant health issues that they feel are related to the practices they were using and the chemicals, and so they made a decision to change that. So I think personal health is still a really big one. I do think that the growing, you know, awareness of the climate crisis situation is going to bring a lot more attention to organic agriculture. because organic agriculture is and regenerative agriculture.
Right.
I think those kinds of topics are going to get a lot more airtime, which they should. I think also the trend for more people to like look at what they're eating and how their food choices are impacting the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, organics is part of that. You know, there's about choosing, you know, how much meat you're going to eat, how local your diet is, how organic your choices are. So I think organic is part of that overall trend as well.
Yeah. You said off the top, it's the 39th year, which means that next year it'll be the 40th year. And I imagine you might want to make that an occasion. Mm-hmm. Has there been any thoughts about what 40th anniversary organic conference, or is that a conversation for January 27th?
Oh, maybe mid-February or March even. We all get a little worn out after the 4 days straight of hopping around. But we haven't talked too much about the 40th year. Definitely, I think we'll be trying to do something special for that year. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. We just try and keep delivering a really great conference every year and getting people together. And, I'm really excited about the workshop programs. There's such a wealth of knowledge and information that's available there for people that, we just try and keep delivering a great program every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, like for students on campus, you really should drop by because it's free organic food samples. Freshly pressed carrot juice. You know, there's going to be this down in the lower level. There's going to be more samples. So, you know, if you can get out for a little bit, it is worthwhile to drop by.
Well, you had them at free.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, Susan Ratz, thank you so much for your time. And I guess we'll look forward to the free samples and the conference that goes with it.
Terrific. Sounds good.
And once again, that was Susan Ratz of the Guelph Organic Conference. You can find out more about the conference at Guelph Organic, C-O-N-F, all one word, Guelph Organic, C-O-N-F.ca. And that's where you can buy tickets, see the schedule of workshops and events, and get a list of the exhibitors that are coming for the trade show, which is free of charge to visit the exhibitor floor. You can get all that on the website. The conference itself takes place at the University of Guelph University Center from Thursday, January 23rd to Sunday, January 26th. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, you can go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can download it from the host at Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. You can go to Guelph Politico's Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.